But before I start, I would like for God to just work in my soul right now. So let's just pray. Let's pray that the Lord works and speaks into our lives this morning. Dear God, thank you because you're good. Thank you because you're in control of our lives. Thank you because you're amazing. We know that the enemy, Lord, is also working. That he doesn't like what you are doing in this community. And that he's going to use many different things and ways, even ourselves, Lord, even your body, to make us trip in different ways. But I pray, God, that you would speak into our lives this morning. Because the message that we have from you is the most important message in human history. And I pray for you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. So it's you and not me the one who speaks this morning. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so I have two other important announcements for you guys. And I didn't introduce myself. My name is Josue Daniel de Leon. I am one of the pastors at here, Westside Church International. Everybody calls me Mambo, so you can call me Mambo, okay? And I have two very important announcements. The first one is that we have birthdays today. Yes. So Ivana, who is Cindy's granddaughter, is her birthday today, right? Yes. December 20th. Yay! Happy birthday, Ivana. And also my dad. My dad is his birthday today. So, Dad, I love you so much. We are praying for you. We want to thank everybody on behalf of my family that have been praying for my dad. He was diagnosed with cancer. He's getting surgery on the 30th. They had to move the surgery on the 30th. So thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for your prayers for my dad. We're trusting that the Lord is going to completely heal him and that he will use this surgery to glorify his name. But we also are okay with whatever the Lord decides with my dad's health. But we trust and we know by faith that he is going to heal completely my dad. So thank you so much for that. And so those were the two very important announcements. And as Christmas is coming up this week, you probably guys are getting ready to, you know, to cook and getting ready for a lot of different things. One of the things that I've been wanting the most to do is to be able to visit my family and my friends in Mexico. Maybe some of you guys know that when I moved here to the States about almost 10 years ago, I moved on a student visa, right? And then after that, the Lord showed me that he wanted me to be part of serving in his church here in Denver. So a group of friends and I, the Lord led us to start this church. So I switch my student visa to a work religious visa. And after that, I've been working in the process to getting permanent residency. But what has happened is that, so if you don't know a lot about visas, I'm going to tell you a little bit about how that process works, is that in order for you to have like a paper that allows you to leave and come back to the States, that is called a visa. And you need to leave the States and go to your country, to the embassy, the U.S. embassy in your country to get that paper. But because I was already living here, what I did is I didn't get a visa. What happened is that I changed my status. So changing your status is different than getting a visa that allows you to leave and come back. So even with the change of your status, You can still leave, but it's a little bit more tricky because you don't have really the visa per se. Immigration is very complex. And, you know, so all these years, for 5 years, I was like, I'm not going to go to Mexico because I don't want to risk going down there and not being able to come back, even though I have my status in order here in the States. So because of that, I have been here for the past 5 years, but one of, without being able to go to Mexico, but one of the things that I really want to do the most when I go back to Mexico is to go to a taqueria and eat some good tacos al pastor, guys. I do. Like, I want the taquero to put some pineapple, some cilantro, you know, to be able to choose from a lot of many different salsas. The best taquerias in Mexico are usually under a bridge. And when you are eating your tacos, you have to be fighting the dogs that are around you, right? So you're eating your taco and you're like, shoot, like, shy. You have dogs around you. You don't know if those dogs are part of the menu or not. You have like all public transportation full of smog, you know, and you're eating your taco and you're like, you can barely see the person you're with because there's so much pollution in Mexico City. But it's amazing. It's amazing. And that's one of the things that I want to do the most. And another important factor is that you eat tacos al pastor always standing up. You never sit down. Sitting down is taco blasphemy, guys. You always have to be standing up when you eat your tacos al pastor. So I hope that that day is going to come because I enjoy and I miss the little things about Mexico. And even though I love Denver and I consider Denver and I consider Colorado my home, it's kind of weird because I don't consider the United States in general as my home because Denver is the place that I have lived for the past almost 10 years. Denver, I consider Denver my home and I love this city with all of my heart, and I love this state so much. But Mexico is also my home. It's the place where I grew up. It's the place where I feel I also belong. And all of us, all of you, have some sense of belonging. Each one of us were born that way. We all want to be part of something greater than ourselves in one way or another. For example, the 4th of July here in the States, right? To all of my American friends and family, yeah, you celebrate the 4th of July with so much pride. And they're like fireworks and American flags and special food. And it's amazing, it's so beautiful. And people paint their faces. And that's something that you, that day, you especially feel an American. Or maybe it's not your country, maybe it's your team. Every single time we see Pastor David, what do we see in Pastor David in his face? We see the Dallas Cowboys face mask, right? And he wears that mask with pride. Even though the Cowboys are not doing that great. I'm sorry, brother. I know you're watching this. By the way, thank you so much for praying for David. He had surgery this Thursday. We know that he's recovering. It's not an easy process. But we want to tell you, David, that we love you, that we miss you. I miss that you're not here. Although Michelle and William are here and love you guys so much as well. So we will continue praying for you. But I'm sure David maybe is wearing his mask right now. Dallas Cowboys. Or people, you know, wear hats. Or they, you know, paint their cars the color of their teams because they feel that pride. Or maybe, you know, it's a team for, in my case, right, from Mexico, Las Águilas del América, the American Eagles. That's the way of the name. That's the name. And I saw a lady yesterday in the food bank that had the logo of the American Eagles, my team. So she received a double portion of groceries. No, she didn't. But I told her, and we related, because that's something that you feel that you belong, that you're part of the same group. Or maybe, you know, you want to take it to another level, is the World Cup or the Olympics. Maybe, you know, the World Cup, like Misha's from Bolivia, and when Bolivia has gone to the World Cup, like you went like a few years ago, I think, right? And like, it's a national parade and party, and Danny's from Colombia, right? Rudy's from Guatemala, and when our countries participate in the Olympics or the World Cup or any international event, we feel like, oh, that's us. And when one of our, you know, countrymen win and they play the national anthem, like, we're like, oh my gosh, we cry. Because that's the place where we belong. So we all have a big sense of belonging in one way or another, to be part of something greater than ourselves. In other words, to be part of a family. And this month we have been preaching and talking about family, because for some of you, at some point in your life, family is so important, and that sense of belonging is so important, because for some of us, at some point in our lives, we have felt rejected. We have felt like we didn't fit. We have felt like we didn't belong to any place. It's like, you know, when you were in school and people, there were like 10 people here and 10 people here, and they had to pick and choose, you know, someone like one by one to make teams. I was usually the last one. So sad. So I was not that great in football, soccer. I was so skinny. So they were like, okay, you, Pedro, my team. Okay, you, Mario, my team. Okay, you, Brian. Brian was from the States. You know, he was an international student. So, hey, you, Brian, here. Okay, you, Jorge, to my team. Then the last one, Mambo, Daniel. Okay, I guess you come to my team. Can you be the goalie? That was kind of like the worst position you could get. So maybe some of us is not a team. It's not something like that. Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's your friends, the ones who have rejected you, people that you thought were going to be with you in the hardest moments of your life. And they left you. And they betrayed you when you needed them the most. And sometimes it could be the family, or own families that rejected us, or a relationship, or the job you didn't get, or the university you couldn't go to. And sometimes we feel, after all of that, that we don't fit in. We feel lonely. And sometimes we feel lost. And let me tell you this, one of the greatest epidemics here in the United States is loneliness. One of the greatest epidemics in the U.S. is loneliness. We are surrounded of people, but we still feel alone. We have never in human history been so connected, quote unquote, more connected, and never have felt lonelier. So when we feel lonely, what do? We resort to addictions, to cope with that loneliness, to that lack of community, to that lack of belonging, to that lack of acceptance. We go to addictions, we go to work, we go to unhealthy relationships, we go to money, we go to social media, we go to traveling, we go to gangs, whatever might give us a sense of community and belonging. And I once read this, that the antidote for addiction is not sobriety, is community. The antidote for addiction is not sobriety, it's actually belonging to a family. Yesterday, as Misha shared, we had a very big food bank for God's glory. And we had so many people here. And the number one prayer that people had when we asked them to pray for them, if we could pray for them, were, please pray for my family. Pray for my family. Family is so big. Community is so big for us. Because family is the nucleus of people, whether they be your parents, brothers, sisters, uncles, friends, or maybe you probably don't have like a biological family, but you have friends that know you and love you and accept you, and that when you hang out with them, you know, just by looking at them, you know what you guys are thinking, and you can laugh about and you can laugh with. And that's something that we all need. People that enrich our lives, we need that as human beings in order for us to thrive. And maybe you could say, Mom, well, I don't need a family. I don't need a community. I'm a loner. I'm so independent. Well, let me tell you this. In the Christian life, there's nothing such as a loner. Nothing. From the Old Testament to the New Testament. Family is the center of the Jewish community, the Jewish society. And the whole Bible, when it gives examples about community, it's given examples that are about family. So, the one who created this in us is God. The one who designed family, the one who put in us that sense of belonging, that sense of community is God, because God has called us to be part of his family. He wants us to live in that intimate relationship with us, with you. He wants to have dinner with you. He wants to be with you in your hardest moments. He will never betray you. He will never abandon you. He wants to become your father. And no matter how we come to him or how many times, you know, we are unfaithful to him, when we seek the Lord with all of our hearts, he always, 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 always welcomes us back. When we seek him, when we repent, when we seek his face, he doesn't reject us. He doesn't deny us. And today we're going to be talking about the book of Ephesians, specifically Ephesians 1 and 2, when Paul is writing to this group of brothers and sisters in Ephesus about what it means to be part of the family of God. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 to 5 says, I want you to walk with me on this journey of understanding what it means to be part of God's family. Verse 3 says, praise be to God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world. God was thinking about you and me before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight. Verse 5, in love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. God is not just this creator of the universe. He's not just this, you know, impersonal being that is in the galaxies trying to resolve the problems of whatever is happening there. He's a God who wants to have a personal relationship with you and with me. And he says that he thought and he chose us before the creation of the world, and that he adopted us to sonship through Jesus Christ. The Greek word for adoption to sonship is a legal term referring to the full legal standing on an adopted male heir in Roman culture. We were adopted by the God Almighty, the God who created all things. The Bible says that through Christ, he has adopted us. He has welcomed us into his family. And he has become our Father. God has become our Father through Christ. When someone adopts a child, that child now becomes an heir. He has all the legal obligations and privileges. That child gets a last name, and that is his father's last name. So my last name is Josue. Well, my name is Josue Daniel de Leon Ponce de Leon. That's a very long last name. I always get comments about it. It's beautiful, though. It means humble. No, I'm just kidding. It means humility, right? Now, so my last name is De Leon Ponce Leon, which is not a common last name. But when you come to Christ, your last name really changes. Now I am Josue Daniel of Christ. God is my Father, and I take his last name. I take God's last name. So when we are adopted through Christ, your last name changes because now you're a part of a new family, the family of God. He becomes your father. And as a son or daughter, now we have these privileges and obligations because we have entered into this new family. In verses Ephesians 1, 6 to 8 is going to tell us what are these privileges that we have when we come into God's family. Verse 6 says, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So as part of this new family through Christ, it's only through Christ. Christ is the only access. As this new part of this new family through Christ, we as God's children, because of what Christ did on the cross, all of our sins are forgiven. Because you know what, guys, sometimes I hear this idea that, well, everybody is God's children. Everyone is God's children. And let me disagree with that idea. That's not what the Bible says. You're God's children only through Christ. Only when we open our lives and our hearts to God through the sacrifice that Christ has done in the cross. Because there's one thing that separates humanity, all of humanity, all of us, from God. One thing, and that thing is called sin. And the Bible says that all of us have sinned, that we were born with sin, that we have put ourselves and other things before God. We all have disobeyed. So sin does not allow us to be part of God's family. But because of Christ's sacrifice on the cross for all of these sins, when we open our lives to him, we're able to enter into his family. Because the Bible says that before Christ, we all are spiritually dead. All of us. And what can a dead person do? You know, if you ask a baby something, hey, like, you know, walk towards me, maybe the baby will do something. Right? If you ask any living being something, it's able to do anything because that being has life. But someone who is death can do anything. And the Bible says in Ephesians 2, 1 and 2, as for you, you were death in your transgressions and sins. We were death before Christ, spiritually death, in which you used to live when you follow the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work of those who are disobedient. So you and I were dead in our sins and transgression. But the amazing part about God's family is that God is the one who looked for us because of his amazing love for us. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, 4 and 6, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by his grace you have been saved. You know, in other religions, they teach that in order for you to gain the deities, you know, the deity, whatever you say that, favor, you need to please that deity that you believe. You need to do good things. I need to earn my way into heaven. With God and with Christ is 100% the opposite. You and I could do anything to earn God's love. Nothing. That's why gospel means good news. Because before we were dead in our sins and transgressions. But now there's good news that is Christ himself. And we couldn't do anything to earn that. God came here to rescue us. He gave his life for us. But in order for us to live, Jesus had to die. He died on the cross because of how much God loves us. And he died because of his promise that he made to people way before us, that he would send a savior to us. And when that happens, when we come into God's family, Ephesians 1:13 says, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. In other words, when we open our lives to God, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in our lives. We are marked by him. So when the enemy sees our lives, he sees Christ in us. He doesn't see Mambo anymore. Because I'm not dead anymore. It's because what Christ has done for me in the cross is that I am alive in Christ, that I am marked, and that I am sealed when we come to Christ. So because before, we were foreigners for God. I am a foreigner here in this country. There's some things that I still don't understand. English, as you can tell, is not my first language, right? I am a foreigner here. And the Bible says that we were foreigners before. Ephesians 2:11 and 12. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. We're not foreigners anymore. Ephesians 2:19-22 says, consequently, you're no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. When I invited to, I remember when I went to David's and Michelle's house, you guys make people feel so welcome. And every single time that I go to your house, I feel so welcome. I feel like, oh man, this is like home. I'm gonna invite the worship team to please come up. I feel like I'm at home. This family that I didn't know, like 4 or 5 years ago, well, I knew Michelle, but I didn't know her whole family. They make me feel like I am one of them, but I'm brown. And they're like my family. And you guys are literally like my family. When we come to Christ, He welcomes us. When we come to Christ, He makes us feel like, welcome home. This is your house. You are no longer foreigners. You're no longer citizens. But in order for us to live and to be part of that family, Jesus had to die. And today, I don't want to miss the opportunity. I know a lot of my family follow our services online. You guys have known me since I was a kid. And I miss you so much. And you guys have known that I have been a Christian my entire life. And I am not a Christian because I am a good, perfect dude. I'm not at all. I am a Christian because I needed a Savior. And you need a Savior too. And I'm talking to you as your nephew, as your cousin, as your friend, as a pastor of a church that you need to know Christ. This year has been marked by a pandemic. We have lost a lot of people. Death, it's on our daily conversations in many different ways. And I cannot let pass the opportunity to tell you about the greatest gift, that is the very meaning of Christmas, that is Jesus Christ. And that God wants you to be part of His family. There's nothing better. Nothing better than the world can offer to us. Nothing. Nothing. And I want everybody who's following us online to give right now, to give you the opportunity. And this opportunity is available 24/7 until the day we die. It's available 24/7. The man that died right next to the cross of Jesus said, you will be with me in paradise. He was in literally the last seconds of his life. This opportunity is available for you 24/7. But I want to give you, before 2020 ends, give you the opportunity to open your heart to Christ. He is more than just a religion or just a tradition or more than I have to behave. It's about what He did on the cross because He loves you, because we were foreigners. We were foreigners. We were dead in our sins and transgressions, but because of what Jesus Christ have done in the cross, we have direct access to the Father. So I'm going to ask you that right now, wherever you are, to close your eyes. Unless you're driving, don't close it. But if you're not driving, I'm going to ask you to please close your eyes. And I want you to pray this with me. And these are not magical words. But pray this as you are saying this to God. So let's all close our eyes. And let's pray. If you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to be with you in heaven. I want to hang out with you. Please pray this prayer. God, I know that I have sinned against you. And I deserve punishment. But Jesus Christ took the punishment that I deserve so that through faith in Him, I could be forgiven. I place my trust in you for salvation. Thank you for your wonderful grace and forgiveness, the gift of eternal life. Amen. Welcome. If you did this prayer, welcome to the family of God. We love you.